Maltepe University School of Foreign Languages. Prep class for undergraduate programs in English. Proficiency exam. Paper 1, listening. There are three parts in this listening paper. Part 1. You will hear two different extracts about fashion. For questions 1 to 4, choose the correct answer A, B, or C. You will hear the recording twice. Now, you have 30 seconds to read the questions.
Now, let's begin.
Extract 1.
What I find so extraordinary about fashions is that even though they come and go, they very often make a comeback at some point. Take the iconic pencil skirt. While this was at the height of fashion during the 1950s, it altogether vanished from people's wardrobes from the 60s onwards, only to become popular once again a few decades later. So why does this cycle occur? Well, the fashion industry is tasked with a somewhat challenging role, not only of churning out new fashion trends each season, but also of ensuring that these trends take off. This leads the industry to look to the past for ideas and cherry-pick those trends that were all the rage during their day. This gives designers a degree of confidence that their modern take on an old style can expect to be equally well received. And in many cases, this is exactly what we see. In my own work, I like to take inspiration specifically from past fashion eras. I've always been captivated by the 1920s. For me, unlike with fashion from other eras, there are so many elements of 1920s fashion that have managed to retain their beauty. I've always been able to look back on the glamour and sparkle that are characteristic of that period and appreciate the exquisiteness. Undoubtedly, glamour is something that will always appeal to women, which is why I delight in recycling elements from this time period and integrating them into my designs, such as the softer cuts, the luxurious fabrics, and, of course, the fabulous pearl and crystal embellishments.
Extract 2.
Some of these fashion trends just make no sense to me.
But this is groundbreaking technology. The headset maps your brainwaves and interprets your emotions, then the material changes colour according to your emotional state.
It's just a gimmick, though, isn't it? Can you think of any situation where a dress that changes colour according to your mood would be useful or even practical?
That's not what fashion is about. It's supposed to be a statement.
A statement of what? If you ask me, the only way fashion can have a real impact is if it's relevant to people's everyday lives.
Personally, I like the idea of fashion that listens to the wearer. Designers and big clothes companies have dictated our style choices for far too long.
Well, I don't want to advertise how I'm feeling all the time. Let's face it, I'm less than enthusiastic about most of the things I have to do every day. But I wouldn't want people around me picking up on that.
Well, it's a good thing not everyone is as negative as you are.
Now, listen again.
Extract 1.
What I find so extraordinary about fashions is that even though they come and go, they very often make a comeback at some point. Take the iconic pencil skirt. While this was at the height of fashion during the 1950s, it altogether vanished from people's wardrobes from the 60s onwards, only to become popular once again a few decades later. So why does this cycle occur? Well, the fashion industry is tasked with a somewhat challenging role, not only of churning out new fashion trends each season, but also of ensuring that these trends take off. This leads the industry to look to the past for ideas and cherry-pick those trends that were all the rage during their day. This gives designers a degree of confidence that their modern take on an old style can expect to be equally well received. And in many cases, this is exactly what we see. In my own work, I like to take inspiration specifically from past fashion eras. I've always been captivated by the 1920s. For me, unlike with fashion from other eras, there are so many elements of 1920s fashion that have managed to retain their beauty. I've always been able to look back on the glamour and sparkle that are characteristic of that period and appreciate the exquisiteness. Undoubtedly, glamour is something that will always appeal to women, which is why I delight in recycling elements from this time period and integrating them into my designs, such as the softer cuts, the luxurious fabrics, and, of course, the fabulous pearl and crystal embellishments.
Extract 2.
Some of these fashion trends just make no sense to me.
But this is groundbreaking technology. The headset maps your brainwaves and interprets your emotions, then the material changes colour according to your emotional state.
It's just a gimmick, though, isn't it? Can you think of any situation where a dress that changes colour according to your mood would be useful or even practical?
That's not what fashion is about. It's supposed to be a statement.
A statement of what? If you ask me, the only way fashion can have a real impact is if it's relevant to people's everyday lives.
Personally, I like the idea of fashion that listens to the wearer. Designers and big clothes companies have dictated our style choices for far too long.
Well, I don't want to advertise how I'm feeling all the time. Let's face it, I'm less than enthusiastic about most of the things I have to do every day. But I wouldn't want people around me picking up on that.
Well, it's a good thing not everyone is as negative as you are.
Part 2. You will hear an interview with a lifestyle advisor. For questions 1 to 10, choose the correct answer A, B, or C. You will hear the recording twice. Now, you have 1 minute to look at the questions.
Now, let's begin.
Tonight, we have here in the studio with us Barbara Parker, a lifestyle advisor. Barbara, what is it exactly that you do?
Hi, Kevin. Good evening. Basically, what I do is help people discover their dreams, then help them find a way to achieve them.
I hope you don't mind me saying, but I don't really see what that might involve.
Right. You'll probably agree that the key to happiness in life is to be able to do what you love doing, something that you've always dreamt of doing. But once you leave college and adult life kicks in, you've got to earn a living. So you go through life in a never-ending loop, making money, just to make money. You no longer know what your dream is because you don't have time to contemplate it. Worse still is that you can never feel fulfilled, since you no longer have ambitions that you could fulfill.
Which sounds depressing.
It does, doesn't it? But you should never give up. Free your mind and think about what your life should be like 5 or 10 years from now. Anything goes here. Just make a list of everything you'd love to have around you. People, a home, furniture, objects, possessions, a career, anything. This is the question you must ask yourself every morning when you wake up. Where do you want your life to go? That is going to be your dream. The more real you make it seem in your mind, the more likely it is that you will make it happen.
Okay, what then?
You need to give it all a bit of thought. Think about your hobbies, your passions. Whatever it is you like spending your time with, without pay, is what your passion is. Consider whether you'd love to do your passion for a living. If so, in what professions? What do you need to do first to get into those professions? Learn as much as you can. Become an expert on the subject. Devote time to your dream every single day.
Sounds like a lot of hard work to me.
You can say that again. Your dream won't make itself come true. You'll need to put in the effort yourself. In order to help you on your journey, you'll need a map. A plan, in other words. You might want to try backwards planning. Start with your goal. What do you need to do last just before you reach your goal? And what do you need to do before then? And so on until you reach the first logical step. When you've identified it, focus all your efforts on that first step. It's easy to become distracted and lose purpose, so you must simplify your life and keep your focus on just that crucial first step. Break up your journey into small steps and always concentrate on the next one and nothing else.
You make it sound so easy, but if anything went wrong, you'd have to go back to square one, wouldn't you?
No. You've got to believe you cannot fail. Pretend that you can't. By acting as if that was true, slowly but surely you'll make it true. Even if you stumble and fall, believe that you'll always get up and learn from that fall. Live the way you want people to think of you, to remember you. Live your life working on realizing your dreams. You'll make progress with every little thing you do towards those dreams.
I love your optimism, Barbara, but let's look at a few practical examples now.
Now, listen again.
Tonight, we have here in the studio with us Barbara Parker, a lifestyle advisor. Barbara, what is it exactly that you do?
Hi, Kevin. Good evening. Basically, what I do is help people discover their dreams, then help them find a way to achieve them.
I hope you don't mind me saying, but I don't really see what that might involve.
Right. You'll probably agree that the key to happiness in life is to be able to do what you love doing, something that you've always dreamt of doing. But once you leave college and adult life kicks in, you've got to earn a living. So you go through life in a never-ending loop, making money, just to make money. You no longer know what your dream is because you don't have time to contemplate it. Worse still is that you can never feel fulfilled, since you no longer have ambitions that you could fulfill.
Which sounds depressing.
It does, doesn't it? But you should never give up. Free your mind and think about what your life should be like 5 or 10 years from now. Anything goes here. Just make a list of everything you'd love to have around you. People, a home, furniture, objects, possessions, a career, anything. This is the question you must ask yourself every morning when you wake up. Where do you want your life to go? That is going to be your dream. The more real you make it seem in your mind, the more likely it is that you will make it happen.
Okay, what then?
You need to give it all a bit of thought. Think about your hobbies, your passions. Whatever it is you like spending your time with, without pay, is what your passion is. Consider whether you'd love to do your passion for a living. If so, in what professions? What do you need to do first to get into those professions? Learn as much as you can. Become an expert on the subject. Devote time to your dream every single day.
Sounds like a lot of hard work to me.
You can say that again. Your dream won't make itself come true. You'll need to put in the effort yourself. In order to help you on your journey, you'll need a map. A plan, in other words. You might want to try backwards planning. Start with your goal. What do you need to do last just before you reach your goal? And what do you need to do before then? And so on until you reach the first logical step. When you've identified it, focus all your efforts on that first step. It's easy to become distracted and lose purpose, so you must simplify your life and keep your focus on just that crucial first step. Break up your journey into small steps and always concentrate on the next one and nothing else.
You make it sound so easy, but if anything went wrong, you'd have to go back to square one, wouldn't you?
No. You've got to believe you cannot fail. Pretend that you can't. By acting as if that was true, slowly but surely, you'll make it true. Even if you stumble and fall, believe that you'll always get up and learn from that fall. Live the way you want people to think of you, to remember you. Live your life working on realizing your dreams. You'll make progress with every little thing you do towards those dreams.
I love your optimism, Barbara, but let's look at a few practical examples now.
Part 3. You will hear 5 different people talking about learning experiences. Listen and match each speaker 1 to 5 to the statements A to G. There are 2 extra statements you do not need. You will hear the recording twice. Now you have 20 seconds to look at these statements. Now, let's begin.
Speaker 1.
I must have been about 7 when I first tried to ride a bike on my own. My brother had got a new bike as a present, but he was more into skateboarding by then because he was a few years older than me. So I used to borrow his bike and go to the local park every Sunday morning with my dad, come rain or shine. He was really patient with me and gave me lots of encouragement. He made the whole experience really enjoyable. I'm sure I wouldn't have enjoyed learning so much if someone else had been teaching me. Mind you, a couple of years later, I took up skateboarding too.
Speaker 2.
When I first left home and moved into my own place, I really enjoyed being independent and making decisions for myself. I had such fun choosing the furniture and painting the walls all the colours of the rainbow. Unfortunately, I didn't know how to cook, though. A friend of mine suggested going to an evening class at the local college, but I couldn't afford it, so I just bought a book and started practicing the recipes by myself. It was great fun, and now I'm quite a good cook. I thought it might be quite complicated at first, but actually, that wasn't the case. I picked it up as I went along.
Speaker 3.
I decided to learn Spanish properly after my holiday in Mexico, as I'd had real trouble communicating while I was there with just my schoolboy knowledge. I went to a local language school which ran classes after work. I really liked the teacher, and we used to go to the pub together after the lesson. It was a bit tiring trying to study so late after a day at work, but it was worth it, and I enjoyed it too. When I went back to Mexico, I had a much easier time because I could make myself understood. I'm planning on going to Spain this year, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Speaker 4.
Ever since I was a little kid, I've wanted to play the guitar. I had dreams of getting a band together and becoming famous. So I asked my parents to get me a guitar for my 16th birthday. When it arrived, I started to teach myself how to play, but I wasn't very successful. In fact, it was so difficult, I nearly gave up. I realised that learning to play wasn't going to be as easy as I thought. In the end, I saved up and paid for music lessons. It was really hard to start with, but it got easier with practice. I did get a band together, and we play at weekends, but we aren't famous yet.
Speaker 5.
A girlfriend of mine insisted that we went to Latin American dance classes together. I wasn't keen on the idea at all, especially as I had to give up my Saturday afternoons to go. Normally, I played football then, but I had to drop out of the team to go to these awful dance lessons. I missed seeing my friends and taking part in the matches. At first, I didn't find the lessons very difficult at all. But as we had to learn more and more complicated steps, I began to find it quite hard. I never really enjoyed it. And when the course ended, so did my relationship with my girlfriend.
Now, listen again.
Speaker 1.
I must have been about 7 when I first tried to ride a bike on my own. My brother had got a new bike as a present, but he was more into skateboarding by then because he was a few years older than me. So I used to borrow his bike and go to the local park every Sunday morning with my dad, come rain or shine. He was really patient with me and gave me lots of encouragement. He made the whole experience really enjoyable. I'm sure I wouldn't have enjoyed learning so much if someone else had been teaching me. Mind you, a couple of years later, I took up skateboarding too.
Speaker 2.
When I first left home and moved into my own place, I really enjoyed being independent and making decisions for myself. I had such fun choosing the furniture and painting the walls all the colours of the rainbow. Unfortunately, I didn't know how to cook, though. A friend of mine suggested going to an evening class at the local college, but I couldn't afford it, so I just bought a book and started practicing the recipes by myself. It was great fun, and now I'm quite a good cook. I thought it might be quite complicated at first, but actually, that wasn't the case. I picked it up as I went along.
Speaker 3.
I decided to learn Spanish properly after my holiday in Mexico, as I'd had real trouble communicating while I was there with just my schoolboy knowledge. I went to a local language school which ran classes after work. I really liked the teacher, and we used to go to the pub together after the lesson. It was a bit tiring trying to study so late after a day at work, but it was worth it, and I enjoyed it too. When I went back to Mexico, I had a much easier time because I could make myself understood. I'm planning on going to Spain this year, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Speaker 4.
Ever since I was a little kid, I've wanted to play the guitar. I had dreams of getting a band together and becoming famous. So I asked my parents to get me a guitar for my 16th birthday. When it arrived, I started to teach myself how to play, but I wasn't very successful. In fact, it was so difficult, I nearly gave up. I realised that learning to play wasn't going to be as easy as I thought. In the end, I saved up and paid for music lessons. It was really hard to start with, but it got easier with practice. I did get a band together, and we play at weekends, but we aren't famous yet.
Speaker 5.
A girlfriend of mine insisted that we went to Latin American dance classes together. I wasn't keen on the idea at all, especially as I had to give up my Saturday afternoons to go. Normally, I played football then, but I had to drop out of the team to go to these awful dance lessons. I missed seeing my friends and taking part in the matches. At first, I didn't find the lessons very difficult at all. But as we had to learn more and more complicated steps, I began to find it quite hard. I never really enjoyed it. And when the course ended, so did my relationship with my girlfriend.